Forget about all of that. The book of Revelation, I'm going to read beginning this morning with chapter 1, verse 3. And I've got a message on my heart. I really have. I really believe that we're going to be blessed by the word of God this morning. I'm giving my best for that. The book of Revelation 1, 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now before I read some more verses, notice three words. Blessed is he that readeth. Would you say the word readeth? And they that hear, say the word hear, the words of this prophecy, and keep, would you say the word keep? Readeth, hear, keep. Verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. Now that's one of the most beautiful passages in 4 and 5 that is in the Bible. You have the Father, grace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits, that's the Holy Spirit in his fullness, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, that's the Jewish people, and all kindred of this earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Now from that text this morning, I want to preach on the day of the Lord is here. The day of the Lord is here. I believe I can say this morning, by the Holy Ghost, prophetically, the day of the Lord is here. We are at the time of the beginning of the end. I don't know exactly the moment the rapture will occur, but I can tell you everything in preparation for that rapture is occurring. And everything in preparation for the Antichrist to reign immediately after the rapture is already foreshadowed and evident. And you can see it everywhere you look. There was an earthquake over 6 on the Richter scale in California this morning, about 3:30. The last I could find out, they have no report of how much damage, how many people may have died. But they've been expecting a huge one out there, much bigger than 6 on the Richter scale, and it's coming. All the things that's happening in the Middle East, in Iraq, in Ukraine, the Russians, all the things happening in America, the political scene in this nation, everywhere you look, I can tell you there is evident that the day of the Lord is here. How many believe that when I say the day of the Lord is here, you can really believe that that is true? Would you mind raising your hand way up high? The day of the Lord is here. Now, I want to preach this morning from three words. Readeth, hear, and keep. Readeth, hear, and keep. Nothing is more imperative. I had a question on the internet yesterday during the radio broadcast. Many of them was by phone, which was wonderful calls yesterday. But then some questions by internet. And the person asked me the question, the seven letters to the seven churches, are they for the whole church world or just for those seven specific churches in that day in which it was written? And I said, well, let me read you what the Bible says. And so we went quickly to verse 3 of chapter 1. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear and keep those things which are written. That was a good answer, wasn't it? That was a biblical answer. See, my answers, they may be cheesy. They may not really be dependable because I do my best, but I don't know everything. The Bible says we right now look through a glass darkly. We do not know everything to be known. But I can tell you something. We are at the time of the coming of the Lord. We do know that. We do know that. Now let's ask God to have his way in this sermon. I don't want nobody to miss a word. Please, nobody go out. Let your children be seated during the word. Very important for them. Let's hear what the Lord is saying. Father, by the Holy Ghost, help me to preach this morning. Let me preach your word straight from your book by your Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I preach this morning on this thought. The day of the Lord is here. The day of the Lord is here. And I want to talk with you about three things. I want to talk to you about reading the truth of the book of Revelation. And the whole of the Bible, really. But especially this book. Because he is speaking in this verse 3 of chapter 1 of this book. Blessed is he that readeth. Blessed is he that readeth. Now, I like what the Holy Ghost said when he went beyond reading and said, hear. Many people read and many people hear sermons with their mind, but they don't hear them with their heart. And he is speaking here of something more than words in front of you or sermons declared before you. He is speaking of hearing what God is saying. He is speaking of somehow getting beyond just casual listening and casual reading of the Bible. He is calling us to a place where we not only read it, but we hear it. And then once we have heard it, we keep it. And we give our best to it. Now let's talk about that. First, it is blessed is he that readeth. Now yesterday, I called on the entire radio audience. I don't know how big it is. We're heard all over the world by internet, seen all over the world by internet, heard over much of North Carolina and portions of other states by radio. And I asked that everybody listening to me would make a commitment yesterday to read the book of Revelation during this week. The book of Revelation during this week, beginning yesterday. You didn't hear the program. You can only start today. But read 3 chapters each day, and the last of the 7 days, you will only have 2 chapters to read. And read this book of Revelation. Now, I want you this morning to commit yourself to read the book of Revelation beginning today over the next 7 days. 3 chapters a day. If you will make that commitment before God, slip your hand up. You will make that commitment before God, slip your hand up. I really believe everybody in this building. In fact, I'm calling on everybody to do it. Your shepherd is saying to you, read the book of Revelation this week. And I have no authority to force that on you. But the Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you in the Lord. For they watch for your soul. And I watch for your soul this morning. I am deeply concerned about an unprepared church for the rapture. I'm not just talking about you. I'm talking about the church world. I'm deeply concerned about an unprepared church for the rapture. The Bible said, because you're neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. And I'm here to tell you, there's going to be a multitude spewed out of his mouth when that great rapture takes place. I remember the day 60 years ago when I came into Pentecost and was wonderfully saved. The Pentecostal churches was full of people who had come from many nominal churches. People had come from many nominal churches. You can name any church out there, and Pentecostal churches was full of these people. They'd come over into Pentecost, and they'd got sanctified, and they'd got filled with the Holy Ghost, and the church was just full of them. You could go among a congregation, and usually it would be full. We'd have revivals, and I don't remember a revival back then that 30 or 40 people didn't get saved, and about 20 would get sanctified, and 15 to 20 would get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and our churches was full. Literally full of people coming from nominalism and coming into the mighty power of Pentecost. But today, you can visit among the churches of America, and you can go to the nominal churches. And while we used to be full of nominal people, now the nominal churches are full of old-fashioned or used to be Pentecostal people. Did you get that? Did you get what I just said? That while we used to be full of people coming from those churches to get the baptism and to get full of the Holy Ghost, now those churches are full of people who used to be full of the Holy Ghost, who used to be godly, holy, righteous people living a set-apart life. Now, that's a sad state. That's a sad feeling to have to say that. But you know it's true, don't you? Don't you know it's true? I mean, there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. Those churches are full of people. They used to be full of the Holy Ghost. They used to live sanctified lives. And now they're satisfied to think they're going to go in the rapture when they've forsaken the baptism. They've forsaken the sanctified life. They've forsaken the walk with God that they used to know in the days of Pentecost when it was sweeping like a storm over this country. And I'm telling you, if there's anything we got to have, we got to have a sweep of old-fashioned Holy Ghost power and a mighty move of righteousness. And let me tell you where it starts. It starts in the Word of the living God. Hallelujah. So this morning, I want to preach about reading the Word of God. Reading the Word of God. You see, when you really get excited about God, you really fall in love with truth. You fall in love with the great things of the Bible. You fall in love with these great truths that the Scripture reveals. You just can't wait to get in that Bible on a daily basis. You get in your place of prayer and study and begin to read the Bible, and before you know it, tears are running down your cheeks. You're excited. Your hand's in the air. The Holy Ghost is moving upon your soul. You may be praying in the Holy Ghost or singing in the Holy Ghost. That's how it is with me. And before I know it, when I read that Bible and get into those Scriptures, they begin to feed my soul. I never read this Bible anymore that it don't feed my soul. If I go a day without reading it, I get hungry. I get yearning for something in here that only the Bible can provide me. It is the Word of God that makes you spiritual. It is the Word of God that fills you with the Holy Ghost. It is the Word of God that brings you to sanctification. It is the Word of God that gives you the mighty grace and the beauty of God's power and holiness upon your life. It's the Word of God. And so the Bible said, blessed is he that readeth. A blessing is pronounced upon the person who reads the Word of God. A blessing. God promises you, you read this Bible and you get involved in this great truth, and it will feed you, and before you know it, you become strong and you become spiritual. Peter said it very plain, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Remember that? Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Did you know the Bible said that God hath chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe? He isn't talking about me preaching my theology and my thinking. He's talking about me preaching this holy book, this divine Word of God. Reading the Bible will turn your soul upside down, and joy will come rushing in upon you. Hallelujah. I can't help it. I'm going to have to shout a little bit here, because reading the Word of God is the richest thing my life ever does. How many love reading the Bible? Let me see your hand. Raise it up high and wave it around a little bit. Hallelujah. Let God know, I love that blessed old book. It feeds my soul. And you know why it don't feed some of you? Because you've got out of the habit of reading it. You've got beyond the joy of it. You don't delight in it. David said of old, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he what? Say it out loud. Meditate day and night. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you, reading the Holy Scripture and this great book of Revelation for God to say. I mean, you understand the book of Revelation came from the Father. You understand this? He gave it to his son. His son gave it to an angel. And an angel fed it to John. That's what the Bible said. That's what the Bible said. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now, isn't that beautiful? See, that's what reading the Bible does. When you read a scripture and you listen and watch every word and you read it to hear everything the Holy Ghost is saying, it feeds you. And before you know it, you find yourself walking the milky white way in a spiritual sense. You find yourself, floating around in the stratosphere of Holy Ghost victory and joy. And you'll begin to shine in your church. You won't just be a pew warmer. You'll be a blessing. And the Holy Ghost will be moving upon you. And you'll be shouting the praises of God. And some of you can't shout unless Brother Chambers begs you to. Hallelujah. Listen to me. We must have it in us, and the reading of the Bible will set you on fire. You look with us. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the reading of the Bible will set you on fire. Somebody say praise the Lord. So we must read. Now let me take a moment. I want to read a little something. I want to show you what reading the Bible does. Let's get an example here. Let's go to Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Now, we're talking about reading. We're talking about you sitting at home. Are you in the church sanctuary? Or are you somewhere in a side room before service begins? Or maybe you're in your bedroom lounge chair. Or maybe you're down on your knees. I love to read the Bible down. I'm not much for kneeling anymore. My knees won't take it long. But I can sit on the floor. I like to sit on the floor, get me a pillow, and sit on the floor because I want to humble myself before God. I want God to know that Joe Chambers doesn't have the intellect to grab this great truth of the Bible. I want the Holy Ghost to know that if he doesn't teach me, I'm not going to learn anything. One of the great prophets of the Old Testament prayed and said, "Draw me, Holy Ghost, that I may run after my Father. Draw me." I often pray that prayer, God. I want to pray so bad this morning, and the enemy is just badgering me, and I'm not feeling it, and I'll cry out, "God, you got to help me. I want to pray, but I want to pray with the anointing." And when I begin to cry out, he begins to show up. Hallelujah. And before you know it, the Holy Ghost is anointing me. Well, let's read a little bit here in John, Revelation 4, verse 1. After this, I looked. Notice. See, I'm amazed at how many times through the years I've read things in the Bible, didn't even see what I was reading. And so I've repented, and I hope I've gone past that day, but I still have rough days, you know, just like you do. But listen, after this, I looked. He didn't just hear something. He saw something. A drama was unfolding in front of him. I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. I mean, he actually saw a door open in heaven. Brother Buck, I'm watching for that. I want to see that door open. When that rapture sounds, that trumpet sounds at the rapture, I guarantee you, you look up, you're going to see a wide open expanse up there, wide open, just a great big welcome, hallelujah, and you'll be going up to meet him in the air. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." Now I'm reading. I'm showing you that when you get into this Bible and you take a verse like that and you read it, and you don't just read it, you read it to grab every word in it. You read it watching for everything he's saying. I'm going to read it again. Because sometimes I have to read it three or four times before I get all that I want to get out of a verse. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. A voice as a trumpet talking with me. Did you get that? A voice as a trumpet talking with me. I mean, this wasn't something casual that John was hearing. This was not something cheesy that John could take a leave. This was not something light and frivolous. John was hearing a sound out of the heavens from an open door up in the heavens above him. And the sound of the voice was like a trumpet. And then he heard the words of that great voice, that great sound, which said, "Come up hither!" Hallelujah. Come up hither. Oh, what a beautiful sound. And I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Now, you just got through reading the second and third letters of Revelation, which is seven letters to seven churches, which is seven church generations, which brings us to the last. We are living in the church age of the Laodiceans, the seventh of the seven. We're living in that age. Let me show you how I believe that the end is. I believe we are at the end of the Philadelphia church, and we're at the ongoing of the Laodicean church. I believe they both are present simultaneously, and the Philadelphia church is going up into the rapture, and the Laodicean church is going to be spewed into the tribulation. That's where we live in. So when John hears this, he just received those seven letters to seven churches and wrote them down. So the whole idea of the church is on his mind. He is thinking the church. He is thinking the seven letters to the church world. He is thinking Jesus loving his church. And the scripture says walking amidst the candlesticks that represents the church. So the scene that John is seeing comes right out of his experience in just being and talking and writing to the church. So when the Lord says to him, "Come up hither and I will show thee things which shall be hereafter," you know he's talking about past the church. See, there's no way to doubt the pre-tribulation rapture when you understand the book of Revelation. You'll never find anybody who doesn't believe in the pre-tribulation rapture that also doesn't believe the book of Revelation is not literal. Because if you believe the book of, I hope I said that right. If you believe the book of Revelation is literal, you got to believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. Because the setting is so perfect and so beautiful. So beautiful. Immediately, he said, I was in the spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven. And one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. There was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Now, you can't read that in the worship and the praise and the adoration of God. You can't get on your knees and find you a place and get along with God and start reading this Holy Bible and read things like that and it not stir your soul. It's going to start turning you upside down. It's going to start doing a work in you that's going to change everything about your life. I'm here to tell you, you read something like that, it's going to thrill you. It's going to bless you. And I'm telling you, that's what he's talking about. He said, blessed is he that readeth. Blessings are announced upon the reader. Blessings are promised to the reader. Hallelujah. When you get on your knees and you start reading and you don't get blessed, then tell God you're depending on him to do what he said he was going to do, to bless you because you're reading. You think he'll do it? Oh, he will do it. Hear me this morning. When I say to you, if ever we've got into this Bible and started reading it, the hour is upon us. We've got to start reading the book of Revelation. I'm begging you. I'm begging you this very week, start today reading this book of Revelation. You say, I've got TV programs to watch, and I got to go catch the news, and I got to call my neighbor. And listen, you put those things aside just a little bit. Don't counsel them. They may be important, but put them aside, and you get in here and read this, and you may find you don't even get to that, because you may get so happy, and you may get so full of joy, and you'll come back to church tonight, maybe even dancing in the aisles. And wouldn't I love to see some of you dancing in the aisles? I don't mean just dancing. I mean the Holy Ghost upon you, and the joy of the Holy Ghost in your heart and life. Hallelujah. So, bless it. Is he that readeth. You got that? How many got? You got to read this Bible if you want this blessing. You got to read this book of Revelation if you want this blessing. All right, let's move to the next thought. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear. You know what? Listen to me, saints. If you knew how burdened Brother Chambers was that my preaching and my effort to teach the Bible could so get a hold of people that they would really start hearing me, that they would literally start hearing me. If you could feel what the pastors of today feel, and I hear them saying it everywhere I go, I hear them weeping and crying about it, is that they are preaching and they're doing their best to pour it out. Brother Joey Yates said to me, I don't know how many times the last 3 weeks, Brother Chambers, I'm giving everything I've got. I'm pouring out everything I am. He's anointing me, but nobody seems to be listening. Nobody seems to be listening. I want to ask you something this morning. When you hear the Bible, do you really hear it? When I preach something like this, are you just listening, or are you hearing? Are you just hearing words? Are you just hearing emotion? Are you just feeling my yearning and my thirsting? Or are you hearing what God is saying? The Holy Ghost says, hear the word of the Lord, and it will change your life, and you'll find joy like you've never had. I believe that with every bit of my heart. If you really want to hear with your heart, would you stand up for a moment? I want to hear. I want to hear what God is saying. I want the Holy Ghost to get so a hold of me that I'm hearing when the preacher preaches. I want to get so in love with God and so moved by the Holy Ghost that when the man of God is declaring, or when I'm reading, that I'm hearing what God is saying. Somebody say hallelujah. 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 God's talking to somebody. Listen to me now. God's talking to somebody. You've been coming to church and you ain't been hearing almost nothing. It's not saying anything to you. It's not really getting into your heart. You don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but you haven't missed a meal in seeking for the baptism. You're not ready for the rapture, but you haven't made a change in your life in months on end. Everything's like it was 10 years ago, or 5 years ago, or 2 years ago, and you need to hear. Hallelujah. You need to hear, church. If you ever needed to hear, you need to hear. I want you to raise your hand and ask the Holy Ghost to help you. You need to understand that Brother Chambers can't do it for you. The Holy Ghost has got to help you. The Holy Ghost has got to help you. The Holy Ghost has got to help you hear. The Holy Ghost has got to help you hear. You got to hear by the Spirit of the living God, by the mighty visitation of the Holy Ghost. I literally feel like running these aisles this morning. I feel like shouting to the top of my voice. God's calling the people to hear. God's calling the people to hear. The whole church world is in a dumbed down state. The whole church world has somehow been so overcome with doctrines and people's words and all kinds of confusions and many times anxiety and aggravation until they're not hearing. I'm crying this morning. It's not enough for me to preach it. It's not enough for you to read it. You got to hear it. I believe somebody's getting ready to hear. Hallelujah. Anybody here getting ready to hear? Anybody say collaborate? Let the Holy Ghost have his way, brothers. Let the Holy Ghost have his way, saints. The Holy Ghost has got to do something with this. Not Brother Chambers. Our churches are full of people that are so dumbed down when it comes to the Bible that they just don't hear it anymore. Listen. Listen to me, my people. The church world has created their own Pentecostal picnic. They've created their own Pentecostal programs. They bypassed the sovereign move of my sweet spirit. They've not sought me and sought my word and surrendered utterly to the great truths of my book. And so they're stalemated. They're indifferent. They're fragile. They don't really hear. I'm calling on you to turn your ears to me and let me talk to you. Let me talk to you in this last hour at the time of the coming of the Son, saith the Father. I wish you'd raise your hand and receive what the Holy Ghost is saying this morning. Receive what the Holy Ghost is saying this morning. Oh, the foolishness of men. Oh, the carelessness of the world around us. Oh, the unwillingness to hear the great truths of the Bible. The unwillingness to be taught and reproved by Holy Scripture. The determination to do one's own thing and go where one pleases and live like one desires and rejecting what God is saying has taken over the church world. What anointing, what sweet Holy Ghost I feel in this place. God's talking to us about hearing. It almost seems like, what in the world do you say about hearing? But hear! But yet the world doesn't hear. Because there's a blindness and a darkness. The Bible said the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. Why doesn't people hear? It's because their eyes and minds have been blinded. There's a blindness that the Antichrist has created upon this generation. The church world is blind. The church world is blind. Not because they willingly want to be, but because they haven't done what they have to do to keep from being. And the devil will take advantage of any carelessness and make you blind. And you've got to make up your mind, I ain't going to be blind no longer. I'm going to turn my eyes to heaven and hear what God is saying. He wants me. Hallelujah. I know I preach to you the word of the Lord this morning with all of my heart. God's talking to somebody. Are you willing to put everything aside? Are you willing to make God and the things of God the center of your life? Are you willing to turn from worldly things and the bondages that the world will create about you? I got to go to that next point and keep. See? Hearing, and now keeping. You may be seated as I finish. Keeping. Oh, boy, are we talking about something big time now. Somebody say with me, keepeth. Say it again, keep. Keep the word of God. Did you know? Most of the church world doesn't know this. Did you know? If you're not an overcomer of the devil, of the world, and of your flesh, you're not ready for the rapture. You got to overcome the devil. He goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You got to overcome the world. The Bible says that Satan is the god of this world. And this world has got a game. They're after you. They've got some plan for every weekend. They're doing every kind of thing they can to get your attention. They're doing their best to sell you their wares and get your money. They're after everything you are and everything you've got. This world's after you. And if you don't overcome the world, you can't walk with God. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I don't care how long you've been going to church, and I don't know how much you claim to be an old-fashioned Christian. If you're in love with this world, there's something wrong in your life. I hate it more every day. I really do. I don't love this world. All right, get back to that word keep. Now, the word in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, the biggest word in the book of Revelation to the saints, this is the words to the Christian, is overcome. Would you open your Bible? Open your Bible and go with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. And I'm going to move through several scriptures and just read little portions of him. This is Revelation, chapter 2, verse 7. The middle of the verse, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Verse 10 of chapter 2. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Verse 17 of chapter 2. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth save he that receiveth it. Chapter 2, verse 26. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Boy, I could preach on every one of those, but I don't have time for that. Verse 5 of chapter 3, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Now, I got to stop there. You got your Bible open to Revelation 3 and verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Somebody says, your name can't be blotted out of the book of life. Well, you need to go tell the Holy Ghost that, because he don't know it. Because it's a lie. It came from the devil. Now, you can call the Holy Ghost a lie if you want to, but you're in dangerous condition when you do. He says, but he that overcometh, I will not blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Listen to that. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, he just go ahead right immediately and says where it came from. The Spirit said this. The Spirit says if you will be an overcomer, he will not blot your name out of the book of life. He didn't say the book. He said the book of life. That's where the name's recorded of everybody born again, saved and living right. I mean, the Bible is just as plain as the nose on your face. If you'll read it, believe it, hear it. Then again in that same chapter, verse 12 of chapter 3, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Ooh, I can't wait for that. I want to be a pillar in that new Jerusalem. Did you know, how many of you knew, look at me now, how many of you knew that new Jerusalem, that city, 1,500 miles square and high, 12 levels, is actually a temple? It's actually a temple. God's throne and God's eternal presence will be in that city, right in the middle of it. And everybody who lives in New Jerusalem will live in the house of God forever and ever. No wonder David prayed in Psalm 23 and said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. And he goes on and he finally ends by saying, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Did you know the saints of God who are raptured are going to live in that glorious New Jerusalem, the temple of God, and we're going to be pillars, and we're going to be part of that temple forever and ever. But he says, to them that overcometh, to him that overcometh. Now go to verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Wow. I know I got to come to a close. Church, listen to your pastor. I preach to you out of a heart that is earnestly seeking the mind of God as it is possible for a man to seek. I'm telling you, I'm seeking his mind every hour. I seek his mind at night. I seek his mind when I'm here doing whatever I've got to do. I'm seeking the mind of God, and I bring in you what I know to be the mind of God this morning. We are at that last hour. This is indeed, without a question, the day of the Lord is here, and God's calling us to give it everything we are for him and his glory, to read and to hear and to keep. To read and to hear and to keep. Could I say it plainer? Everybody in this building, that you are determined to read and to hear and to keep, stand up quickly in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm determined. I'm determined to hear and to read. I mean, to read and to hear and to keep. Glory to me. Hallelujah. Just raise your hand up there. Holy Siva, hallelujah. 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 His presence is in this house. His presence is in this house, Sister Marilyn. He wants to work in your life. Hallelujah. He wants to work in your life, Tweeters. Hallelujah. Tweeters, whatever that name. Hallelujah. I'm ready. I'm going to give it every bit. I'm going to give it all. I'm going to give myself to God. I'm going to be his lock, stock, and barrel. I'm going to read, and I'm going to hear, and I'm going to keep, and I'm going to leave here when that trumpet sounds. Hallelujah. Isn't that beautiful, brother fellas? If we read, and we hear, and we keep, we're going to leave here. And it ain't going to be long. Somebody in this building, you're not where you ought to be. You're not where you ought to be. Nobody's condemning you. Nobody's putting you down. But you know you're not where you ought to be. I want you to leave your pew as quick as you can get out of that seat and come here to this altar and stand right here before this altar. I'm coming, Brother Chambers. I'm coming, Brother Chambers. I'm not where I ought to be. I'm not where I should be. I'm not where I could have been. But I'm on my way. And this morning, I make a new surrender. Thank you, Mr. Twitter. Hallelujah. I'm coming. I make a new surrender. I'm coming. Anybody else, step out in the name of the Lord. I'm going to go full for God. I'm going to go all the way for God. I'm going to give him everything I am. Raise your hands up and wait on him. Hallelujah. Have I preached the word of God this morning? Have I preached the word of God this morning, church? Have I preached the truth of the Bible? This will go on internet tomorrow. I'm going to do my best to get the world hearing it. It's time that we somehow get this world shook up, understanding we are in that hour of his coming. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Anybody else who need to be in this altar? I know there's others who need to be in this altar. Let me tell you something, friend. You know what Pentecost is? You won't get in that rapture without anything less. You know what Pentecost is? You will not go in that rapture with anything less. You say, Brother Chambers, I don't like that. I don't have the privilege of telling you what you lack. I got to tell you what's right, because I'm going to answer to God for what I say. Hallelujah. I want everybody in this building who's hungry for the deeper move to get out of your pew and come quickly. I'm hungry for a deeper move than I've ever known. I'm hungry to get moved and get stirred. And visitors, you just make like you're part of us, okay? Come right on with us and help us pray through. Hallelujah. It's later than you think. It's later than you think. It's later than you think. Don't you dare try to get to heaven without everything God's got for you. You read this book. You hear this book. You obey this book and keep these laws and truths of God. I thank God for this little lady who called me this week, and she was so blessed by the sermon last Sunday. I hope you've been blessed again, my dear sister from Texas. Hey, she's from Texas too. Wow, we've been invaded by Texans. Hallelujah. That's okay. Oh, glory. Isn't God good? Now, I want the rest of you to come onto the altar, if you would please. You may not have a need or a desire, but just come here and stand, because we're praying. We don't want anybody to miss this, children. We want you to be here. Hallelujah.
And on my heart today.
Sing it out. Hallelujah. That's incredible.
Try me, oh Savior.
Holy Christ.
Know my thoughts.
I pray. Slip a hand up, will you? Yes, let God, let Him try your heart. Any wicked way.
Some wicked way in me.
Thank you, Father. Cleanse me. Oh, Lord. Now, I want you to raise your hand and ask God to cleanse you. I don't care how long you've been a Christian, you still need some cleansing. I know I do. I had to repent this very week, seeking a fresh cleansing all over my soul. So raise your hands up and seek it. Let the world go. Get rid of the world. Get it out of your life. I mean, get the world out of your life. You don't need it any longer. You don't need it any longer. Are you hearing me? You don't need this world any longer. You need the holiness of God, the sanctifying grace that makes you pure and holy. Oh, Zebriah, cry and pray with all your heart in that church. I want to hear you.